welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Now I want us to talk a little bit about why. Why is it so important that we go? Why is it such an important part of the way we do ministry, about our heart, that sort of our whole purpose statement starts with reaching nations. The very start of what we're wanting to do. And obviously there's a whole bunch of scripture around this. So just very quickly and very briefly, I know our time is short this evening. I want us to read just a couple of verses that relate to this and trust that God would continue to stir some stuff in our heart. And the first one is a passage most of us know very well. If we don't know the whole passage, we should know this one verse very well. And it's in John chapter 3, Jesus speaking. And he says from verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," let me just pause there very quickly. He's speaking here to a bunch of Jewish people who would have understood the Old Testament really well. Everything Moses did, they would have known. They would have had a great frame of reference to all that Moses conducted. And at one stage, Moses and all of the Israelites were in a serious problem because they'd messed up. And the next thing they knew, there were these incredibly poisonous snakes all over their camp. And the snakes were biting people, and people were really quickly dying after they'd been bitten. And then they went to Moses and said, "Moses, we're really sorry. We know we've messed up. Don't you want to pray and trust and ask God to deliver us from these snakes?" And Moses prayed, and God said, "Of course I will." And he said, "I want you to fashion a bronze snake." And Moses fashioned this big bronze snake, which must have been a huge thing, because he lifted this on a pole. And anyone, and when they looked at that pole, once they'd been bitten by a snake, they would have been healed immediately. Just a really powerful story, and I wish we could get into the symbolism of all of that. And here you've got a couple of million people with a snake on a pole, which they can all see. It must have been a really big, really high thing. And that's what Jesus is referring to. He says, even as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness so that every time someone looked at that serpent, they'd immediately be healed, even so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The first reason why we go, the first reason why it's something that burns in our hearts to get in a bus and go to Lesotho or go to Malawi or go across the hall or go to another part of the suburb we live in, whatever it may be, is because there's a love of Christ that's stirring in our hearts. It starts with the fact that God sits up in heaven and he looks down on us and he says he loves us. He loves us so much that he doesn't stay a God afar off. He doesn't stay a God who's not interested. He's a God who steps down and he says, "You know, I'm going to do something about the fact that I love these people." In your life and in my life, it starts with us understanding that Jesus was sent. And as much as it's about love, it's not about the love that we have in our hearts. It's not about our love as much as it's about his love. I'd love to spend some time talking about this, but just want to drop these in our spirit and encourage you, pray through them in the week. Take these verses, read over them, and trust the Holy Spirit to stir something in your heart about what he's trying to say to us and trying to say to you as an individual. John Piper says so beautifully. He says, missions exists because worship doesn't. Missions exists because worship doesn't. That as we go and as we preach the gospel wherever God leads us, the whole point of that is to bring people into a worshipful love relationship with Christ. That if the whole world was worshiping, we wouldn't need missions. But because there's worship that's not happening, in other words, there are people who aren't in a right relationship with Christ, because the outflow of that is worship, we need to do missions. The second reason flows out of that first is, firstly, because Christ loves, but secondly, Acts 4 verse 12, probably the most politically incorrect passage in the whole of Scripture. It says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Sorry, I'm going to drink a lot of water in the 6 minutes that I'm going to be speaking tonight. I hope that's okay. Why do we go? Why do we keep going? Because there's a broken world out there, and I want us to rewind back half an hour or so to when we were talking about what Christ came to do in our lives, what our lives would look like if he didn't done and he hadn't done that. There's stacks and stacks of people out there who haven't entered that grace with Christ and received it. Not because he's unwilling, just because there's been no one telling them, no one sharing with them, no one praying for them. The beautiful thing is that there's a Christ up in heaven who loves them so much. He's committed to their lives. But in that commitment, there's only one solution. Christ is their only hope. Nor is there salvation in any other. Salvation there talks about being delivered, literally being saved. It's a picture of somebody in a life, sort of somebody going out for a swim in the ocean, is drowning. Kicking and kicking and kicking, trying to stay up, but the waves are just too much, and eventually the body gets tired, and you know, you start sinking, and your leg starts cramping. And salvation is that NSRI, little National Sea Rescue Institute boat that comes past, and that last little bit of strength that you have, that hand that's going up, grabs onto your hand and pulls you up out of the water. That word, that's that process right there, is the process of salvation. Scripture says every one of us is in need of that salvation only from Christ. We get saved from a couple of things. We get saved, first of all, from the penalty of sin. But too often in churches today, we're afraid to talk about the reality of eternity. And perhaps even more, as Kuba spoke about, the reality of eternal damnation, hell, and heaven. We get saved from the penalty of our sin. And I remember when I was still involved in academia and was doing research, found some really interesting statistics, and I encourage some of you guys to get hold of these things. There's a survey that gets done every 4 years across the world. It's called the World Values Survey, in which they ask a couple of thousand people in every country on the planet a bunch of questions. Some really interesting stuff that you can pull out of those surveys. The same questions that they ask every time, so you can sort of track development and changes and mindsets and worldviews over time. And I remember one of the things that struck me probably more than anything else, and I might be out by a couple of percentage points here. It was a couple of years ago, but the basic principle will remain the same. About 80% of people in the world today believe in an afterlife. About 80%, 4 out of 5 people would believe that there's a heaven after I die here on earth. There's something else that's going to happen. Only half of those people who believe in an afterlife believe in a reality of hell. Only half of the people, about 40% of the people who on earth believe that there's a reality of a possible punishment after death. We love the idea of an afterlife, and for most of us, and maybe not all of us sitting here, but the world outside, it's a utopia. It's a afterlife, it's always going to be better. And the reality is, Scripture says, unfortunately, that's not true. We get saved from a penalty of sin. We get saved as we continue to walk in relationship with Christ. We get saved from the power of sin. Maybe some of you spoke about that, and when you were sharing what Christ has come, there was a sin, there was something that had a hold of your life that you were unable to break free from, and Christ set you free. He came and he broke the hold of that thing over our lives. And then not only does he set us free from the power of sin, he saves us in heaven from the presence of sin. We will be with him for all of eternity, and there will be no more sin. But the understanding that there's a broken world out there with only one hope, the hope of Christ. Romans 10, don't think the verse is up there, but Romans 10, it says, that how will they believe unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone says it to them? Unless someone's preaching it? And how will we preach unless we're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful upon the mountains, it says, is the person who's coming over the mountain, carrying, breaking through barriers, going that extra mile to bring good news. And what is the good news? The fact that Christ rose from the dead for our salvation. It says those are beautiful. And then the verse that is up there, John 17. Once again, it's Jesus praying. And he's praying here specifically for the people whose life he's ministered into. And he says, I've given them your word. And the word has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I did not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them in this world from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then watch this beautiful verse, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them. Another reason why we should go, another reason why missions should be an integral part of our lives. And let me just qualify as I try to illustrate just now. Missions doesn't only talk about going to India, Nepal, Malawi, Rwanda, Lesotho, Barkley East. Missions involves me waking up tomorrow morning and saying, God, there are broken people all around me. Some of them across the passageway. Some of them just on the other side of the room. Some of them I'm going to walk past today. Some of them I'm going to walk past them in the passageways at work or on the way to class at school. God, help me to in some way impart into their lives an understanding of the love that you have for them, Jesus. Why do we go? We go because Christ has looked down from heaven and he's looked at you and he's looked at me and he's prayed this verse over us, verse 18. And he says, Father, as you sent me into the world, do you remember what did John 3:16 and 17 say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17, but he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The same Jesus who says that just a couple of chapters later says, in the same way that I was sent not to die for all of mankind's sin, but with the same intention, the same purposefulness that I was sent into this world, Father, I pray that in the same way you sent me, I send them. That as if we're here and we've come into this relationship with Christ, we're meant to be sent people living with an understanding of a change and a difference that God wants to bring and break through our lives. And then a last passage that I'd like us to read together, the whole of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not going to expand on it too much. Really would love to. Love us just to take hours just digging into this. But unfortunately tonight time doesn't allow it. I want to encourage you to go read these verses I said just now. And specifically 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writing, and he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, this glory of this light that's shining on the inside of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death in working is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this little bit that we're suffering today, the struggles that we're going through, is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the reasons we go is because we're aware that Scripture says this little bit of hardship that we go through, this little bit of physical suffering, this little bit of uncomfortableness, this little bit of awkwardness here in this earth while we live here, says we'll gladly go through that. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's something which goes beyond what we're going to understand on this earth that's happening up in heaven when we're obedient to the call of God upon our lives. It goes way beyond the little bit of suffering. He talks about a light affliction we're receiving here. And he goes on to say, it's far exceeding that, but not only is exceeding that, it's not temporary. Everything on this earth is temporary. Some of us may have realized that in life already, that life is really fragile. Life passes. 70, 30, 70, 80, 120, however long it may be, years that we live on this earth. Some of you would have seen that horrendous video clip on YouTube of that accident in Pinetown, the truck. There's two video clips, the one just from a CCTV camera, just showing the intersection. And as the cars start driving, this truck comes, plows through the midst of them. Just in a moment, the one that, as scary as that one is, that just sort of got me was, for some reason, this guy had a video camera on his dash. And he pulls up behind a car at a red light. And the light turns green and they start driving. And as they start driving, this truck comes and misses his car by centimeters and collects the cars in front of him. I wonder what's going through that guy's mind right now. For the rest of his life, he's going to remember that just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you know, in the click of a finger, life is finished. But in that same moment, Scripture says that for those of us who are in relationship with Christ, it's just a transformation and we become like Him. And not only do we become like Him, we're with Him forever. It's eternal. Never ends. That the life on this earth is so short, it's something that's so brief. But there's an eternal weight of glory that's being prepared for us as we embrace this ministry Paul writes in this passage. He says we don't lose heart, we don't grow tired, we're suffering and there's a whole bunch of knocks coming from every side, but that doesn't sway us. We're pushing through this because there's something that is so more precious that we're working towards. This evening, what I want to encourage every one of us to do is, as many of us already are, and many of us are just being reminded again, let's trust God to stir in our heart the love that He has for His people. Some of you don't know how to share your faith. You would so love to share your faith. You don't even know where to start. How do I pray with somebody? How to pray with someone to get saved or pray with someone to get born again? Pray with someone to get filled with the Holy Spirit as they did in Malawi. Just know many of the other places as well, but Michael referred to that. We've got that share seminar coming on the 5th of October, the Saturday morning. Come and join us and we're going to teach you and we're going to equip you strengthen your hands just a little bit, as Esther was saying. How do I know I'm ready? Yes, God makes you able, but there's a time where we need to be made able as well. I want to encourage you, come to the chair seminar, but even more important than all of that, go home and pray and say, God, where do you want me to go? And at the end of this year, we're going to be sending teams again. We're going to be sending teams to Rwanda again. We're going to be sending teams to India. We're going to be sending a team to one of the biggest parties in South Africa, and in Durban. 40,000 people, I'm told, come together to get drunk and get high. What better place to send people carrying the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not to condemn the world, not to make people feel bad, not to stand in the corner and say, stop what you're doing, it's wrong. But to be there extending an arm, saying, you know, there's a Jesus who loves you. There's a hope and there's life. And because Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we want to be people walking around, as this 2 Corinthians 4 said, with a light shining inside of us, the irresistible light of the glory of Christ who's turned us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Looking at sending some other teams later on as well. Probably a team to Guinea, way up in the north of Africa, just to go. We got an email from pastors in Guinea recently saying, guys, we need help. We're going through some persecution. Our churches are being blown up and burnt down. The place where we're going and where we come together, it's Christians are not being persecuted in the way that we think persecution is. I don't like you because, oh, you read your Bible, you're a loser, persecution. They're saying, listen, we need help. We need people just to come alongside us and support us. Want to send 3 or 4 people, let's just go and see what's going on. How can we get support? The moment things calm down in Syria, the Church of Christ is going to have to jump in there. Because you know what the media isn't telling us? The vast majority of the onslaught is against Christians. One of the oldest churches in the world just got burnt in the last week. One of the oldest churches, one of the very first church buildings, as there's this big onslaught, this is onslaught coming against the people of God. I don't want to get into too much of the detail just in this nation. I had a whole long meeting this week. We just met with some of the top lawyers in the country and some of the most significant church leaders just talking about what's happening all across the nation. The world's beginning to stand up. One of the things that I love about the God we serve is that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises a standard. Prophetically, I believe God wants to create a bit of a safe space in South Africa. But not a space for us to be safe so that we can be comfortable. A space so we can be safe so that we can stand up and go where the world needs us most. Jesus said he didn't come for whole people. He came for broken people. There are broken people all over. You and I have so much to give. Let's be a church that gives it liberally and freely. Extends our hand of grace across the room, across the hall, but across the planet as well. So I want to encourage you, go home and pray and say, God, I really want to go, God. God, where can I go? Because last time I read scripture, it didn't say stay, and if I say go, go. Jesus said, go therefore into all the world and go and make disciples. And I want to encourage us, let's be a church that's going. And if you're not going, then in this church, you're at least going to make a commitment to support those who are going. But for us who are in this church, if we're not out on the road, then we're up in the morning praying for those who are out on the road. If we can't go for whatever reasons, then we're doing what we can to gather finances to support those who can go. And I want to say that for us as a church, that's what I expect from us, because I believe that's what Jesus expects from us. I don't believe Jesus is up in heaven looking, smiling down on a church that's, and I'm not saying we are this, but if we were this, that's just comfortable and got great praise and worship, but doesn't care about what he cares about. So I want to encourage us, go home and pray. Say, God, how do I get on board with this which you're on board about? There's so many scriptures. I know many of you can quote them. We can speak about them hours and hours. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost. So many verses, so many passages we can read. And I thank God that as a church, that I think He would look down and He would smile at us. And He'd say, guys, you've got a heart for the nations, and I love that. But in the same way, I believe He'd say, there's a lot of room for growth. There are many more nations you can reach. So as I say that, I want to invite everyone, and if you're visiting, it's great that you're here, and take your passion and the drive that you have in your heart back to the church where God's called you to serve. But for those of us that are here, I want to invite you, join with us. Let's get serious about doing missions. Sign up for next year's missions or December's missions teams. Start saving now. Next year, we're going to have missions interns. We're going to have people giving a year of their life full time just to arrange and do the logistics behind missions so we can go and we can do missions. If God's stirring in your heart to get involved with that, get involved with that. Let's be a church living out the love of Christ for a broken world. There's so many ways in which we can do it. The important thing is they just start doing it some way. And as we do it, whether it's youth ministry in Barclay East or whether it's equipping elders in Malawi, whether it's dancing, whether it's even as we're just going to partner with more and more people in India, it's going to look so different in different places that we're going. Some places it's going to be about providing fresh water for them or building houses, teaching them to farm so they can have food. It's going to look different in different places. The one common denominator is Acts 4:12. Nor is there any other name by which they must be saved. People are going to come to know and grow in relationship with Jesus. Amen. Can we stand? Father, I want to thank you for this incredible bunch of people that you've given us, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you that as we stand here, God, we could invite so many up on stage because in the last couple of months, they have gone, Lord. Many others, God, who couldn't even be here because they're serving at youth or they're serving at children's church, Lord, or they're serving somewhere else. God, I want to thank you just for so much that you're doing in hearts around your kingdom. And I pray, Jesus, that you would come and breathe over that fire in all of our hearts, God. Make us more committed than ever, Lord God, to go there where you send us, to be sensitive, Lord. And when you speak, God, we won't have answers and we won't get into debates with you. We'll just say, yes, Lord, here I go. Here I am, send me, Lord. In the same way, Lord, that you have sent Jesus, we pray, Jesus, that you would send us into a dying and broken world, that we may bring not ourselves, but we may bring the grace and the goodness of a living God to wherever you lead us. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.